If you'll be turning in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke and the 16th chapter, we'll begin there in just a moment. While you're getting your Bible and getting settled, we want to welcome each of you into our assembly. Good to have some visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready this morning. Baptistry's filled, there's clothing here. Be glad to take your confession that Jesus is the Son of God and immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Mark 16, verse 16. If you have your New Testament in the book of Luke and the 16th chapter, if you will, begin with me at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in fine, that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." At this time, I'd like to turn your attention to the teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke in the 16th chapter. And I'd like for just a few moments of our time to notice what Jesus had to say in regard to two men. I recognize that many talk about this being a parable, but you call it what you will, Jesus is teaching a spiritual truth. And Jesus is bringing to the mind of the people a great truth about man and his service to God and his attitude towards others. If you have your Bible in the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, the first thing I'd like to do is contrast the man identified as the rich man and the man identified as Lazarus. The first thing I want to bring to your mind is that Jesus talked about this certain rich man. Notice he never identifies the man. He just said he was a certain rich man. Then if you take your Bible, note that it says in verse 19 that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. In that day and time, purple was a rarity. It was something that would be of high cost and expensive. And if an individual could afford purple, it showed that they were an individual of great means and wealth. Here was a man who was clothed in purple and, notice, fine linen. So he was one of the well-dressed individuals of that day. And then the scripture says he fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he lived in luxury. That individual had a lot of money. That individual had a lot of wealth. And he was one who lived in very good comfort. But then if you take your Bible, notice verse 20. It talks about the certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores. But look at the latter part. He was laid at the gate of the rich man. The Bible doesn't describe how grand the house of that man was. But I can picture in my mind that it must have been a beautiful house. It must have been a grand house. And the reason I surmise that is because in verse 20, it says that this individual Lazarus was laid at the gate. In that day and time, for an individual to have a gate to their home, they would have to be a person of great wealth and means. So when I look at that man identified as the rich man, I see a man who wore very fine linen. He was an individual that wore the rarest of purple. He was the one who would have had the jewels the brightest. He was an individual who appeared to live in a very grand mansion. And he was one who lived sumptuously every day. Then if you take your Bible, notice the man, if you will, in verse 20, identified as Lazarus. Notice Jesus did not just say a certain beggar, but Jesus knew the name of that man. And Jesus said his name is Lazarus. And that man, notice, was one who was laid at the gate. That implies the man had a disability of some sort. Someone must have helped him to the gate where he could sit and beg for food. So here was an individual named Lazarus who was crippled. And notice what else it says. His body was full of sores. Here was an individual that could not go about and make a living because of his disability. And then the scripture says that his body was full of sores. Then if you note in your Bible in verse 21, he was hungry. Can you imagine the pain in the life of this individual? He desired to just be fed the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Here was one who had the pain of sores inflicted on his body. Here is an individual who could not walk. And here is an individual that was hungry. I want to tell you, this man was living a miserable life at this time in regard to his physical well-being. But then if you take your Bible, notice something else. Notice, if you will, it says in verse 21, the dogs came and licked his sores. I recognize that in Bible days, they do not see dogs as we do today. I recognize that many of them wouldn't keep them as pets. But I've often wondered if maybe the rich man was glad to see the dogs come and maybe clear that crippled man from his gate. But instead of coming and clearing him from the gate and inviting him, notice these dogs put their soft healing tongues to the sores of that man who couldn't afford salve, who couldn't afford the bandages. And here was a man who had friends at last. Here was a man who laid at the gate hungry, hurting, wanting just to be fed the crumbs, and the only one who paid him any attention were the dogs. But then if you take your Bible, notice something else. If you take your Bible, notice what is said in verse 22. It said, the beggar died. Have you ever thought that here was a man that his life came to an end? He may not have been well known in that community. He may not have been respected. But that man came to a point where his soul left the body. Can you imagine as they walked by the old beggar and he didn't move? And someone may have called out his name. Someone may have took their foot and touched him. Maybe they were afraid to touch him because of the sores. But all I know is the Bible says that man died. And I recognize that in that day, if an individual didn't have any friends or family, that they would often appoint some men from the town to carry them out into a field, dig a hole, and drop them in. Can you imagine going to a funeral where no one attends? Can you imagine going to a place where they just take the body and throw it into the ground without any care, not any concern for the one who's deceased? And can you imagine no one attending his funeral as they bury the body? Many of the townspeople may have said, he's just another nuisance gotten rid of. But you know, my friend, when they take that body out and bury it, it wasn't Lazarus they buried, it was only his sores. When you look in your Bible in the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, look at verse 22. Verse 22 is one of the most outstanding verses in the divine word of God. In verse 22, the beggar died. Look at the next verse. And was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Have you ever thought that the soul of that individual was catered away? It was carried away by the angels into the presence of Abraham, into the bosom of paradise. And I want you to recognize, my friend, now Lazarus will have his own mansions, his own robes, his own banquet. And he awaits the judgment day when his body will be raised up. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, it won't be that body that was full of sores. It won't be that body that was crippled. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he will be given a new body. So here is one who died. And notice, my friend, that the angels were his pallbearers. The angels carried him into the paradise. But then if you take your Bible, notice what it says in the latter part of verse 22. Not only did the beggar die, But notice it says, the rich man also died, and watch it, was buried. Have you ever thought, my friend, of excitement that must have went around town when the news spread that this rich man had died? Imagine the great man who may have came to his funeral, a great citizen had died, somebody respected in the community, somebody who had wealth, somebody who had influence. And imagine the praise they gave him and the eulogies they said. And imagine the long procession to the graveyard. And as they lay him in that great tombstone, people are weeping. But notice again, my friend, the rich man's not there. They're just burying the body. That's just the remains. But notice what is said, if you will, in verse 23. And being in torments in Hades. Have you ever thought that the soul of that man went on, and notice this time, not carried by the angels into the paradise, not carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham, but this time, notice that he lifts up his eyes in torments. And notice that plurality, not torment, torments. And recognize that that individual is in great pain. And notice in verse 24, his plea, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Here was one that at one time lived luxuriously. Here was one who at one time may have had all that he desired. But now in verse 24, notice he is begging for just a drop of water. He's begging for just one drop. The rich man is now as poor as he can be. And at one time when he ignored the begging of Lazarus, now notice he's the one doing the begging. Notice again, if you will, in verse 27, the statement, he said, I beg you therefore, Father. Every time he'd walk by Lazarus, he'd ignore that man begging. And now while his soul is in torments, he is pleading and he is begging. The arrogance has been knocked away. All that he had has been taken from him. And that man is begging for just a drop of water. And the rich man doesn't even have the dogs come and relieve his suffering. And when the body will join him in the judgment day, and the final judgment is rendered, I want you to understand that when God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never did know you, that he will be cast into eternal damnation and he will burn in hell forever for his sins, while Lazarus will rejoice in heaven. Have you ever thought of those two funerals? Have you ever thought that one may have a great funeral in the eyes of man, may be praised by man, may be complimented by man, and yet be displeasing to God and be cast from the presence of God? And another individual may have a funeral where very few attend, may not have all the praise of men, and yet be pleasing to God and the angels be their pulpit. I want to take that. I want to ask three or four things in the lesson, church. I want you first to recognize that the sin in Luke 16 is not the rich man's wealth. The sin of the rich man was that he was selfish. And he had looked at himself, he had looked at this world, and he didn't look at Lazarus and his needs. It's not a sin to have some wealth if you share. It's a sin to be selfish and not help those who are in need. But you know, my friend, have you ever thought that one may not have much on this earth, but be a prince in eternity? When I look at Lazarus and I see that man wearing the rags on earth and eating crumbs and other people's garbage, he's not doing it any longer. He's at the king's table. And if you're a child of God, you're richer than any millionaire alive. You may not be well known. You may not have the governor speak at your funeral. But I'll tell you, my friend, if you're a child of God, angels will be your pallbearers. I don't know how many times I've been at the bedside of someone when they died. And I've looked at the body. And when they said they're gone, and sometimes they don't have to tell you, you know. I've thought about them being children of God, and though I can't see them, I've thought about angels taking that soul and way to God. And you know, my friend, that gives me comfort. That has comforted me more than any other thing that I can think of, knowing that a child of God is now in the presence of their Heavenly Father. But I want to tell you something. I want us to understand that there's been a lot of misapplication from Luke 16. Just because you're not rich doesn't mean you're going to automatically go to heaven. And may I say with all kindness and candor, if you want to really look at Luke 16, most of us represent the rich man far than we do Lazarus. Most of us came here in an automobile. Most of us have clothing. Most of us have a home. Most of us have had food enough to spare. Most of us have about everything we could want. Now, sometimes we look at the millionaires and say, well, that's the rich man. Oh, no, my friend. We're closer to the rich man than we are Lazarus. But even if you don't have a dime, if you're not a child of God, you're lost. Don't get in your mind just because life here is hard, that means you're automatically going to go to heaven. I've heard some people say, you know, on 9/11, when those planes went into the towers, everybody in the tower went to heaven because they suffered. No, my friend. The ones who go to heaven are those who are God's children. And it doesn't matter how great or how terrible your life is here. What God is looking for are people who put their faith in Him and obey Him and serve Him. I've had some people think that just because they've had a tough time here, that that means they'll have eternity with God. Not if you're not a child of His. I must come to God. I think a lot of people have false hope because they don't put their hope in God. But I want to tell you something else. You may have comfort and luxury here and have a terrible future. 60 seconds after death, all the rich man's money didn't do him a good. It didn't do him a bit of good. He couldn't wear his fine linen shirts anymore. He went from riches to torments. He went to the wine of the day to begging for water. Now he's the beggar. Can you imagine him looking at Lazarus and just asking for a drop of water? That brings up a third thought. I don't know if I preach on it as much as I should. And I don't know if in our day and time people won't even hear it as much as they should. But you know, my friend, when you study the Bible, one thing you'll find that the writers of God do not ever shy away from is talking about the extreme suffering of hell. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter, you'll see where Jesus talks about casting them into a furnace of fire. You'll read in Matthew chapter 7, being separated from God, being cast out of His presence. Sometimes I'm fearful that in our day and time, some people want to belittle the suffering of hell. Some say there is no hell. But I beg to differ with that. The Bible talks about those being cast and being tormented in that place which burns forever. But then I want to tell you about the glories of heaven. And being with the faithful loved ones and being with God where there are no more tears, sorrow, or sin. To be in the presence of the Creator for all eternity. I've often wondered if I could just get a glimpse of heaven and I could put it into your heart and into my heart. How much more fervor we would have in serving God. Just to know that I'm with Him for eternity. And to recognize that I and you must choose between a glorious heaven and a burning hell. You must decide if you will obey God or deny. I'll ask one last question. What kind of funeral will you have? Now you may say, now preacher, I'll tell you what we're going to do at my funeral. And I've had people tell me all kinds of things they plan. But I want to ask you this. Are you living a life so that people, when they come to your funeral, have hope that you're in Christ and that by the grace of God they'll see you again in heaven? Because it doesn't matter who speaks at your funeral and what good things they could say about you. The most sad funeral to attend is a funeral where someone's not right with God. One year I did about 20-something funerals in Nashville. I went from Hermitage to Old Hickory to Woodbine. I'd go down and we did a funeral in Charlotte. We'd go back to Nashville. And it seemed like you were just in a constant state of shock and numbness every week. It seemed like someone passed. And I started thinking, some funerals are easier to preach than others. When a person has hope, and when you can get up and talk about hope. But I want to tell you, my friend, a funeral that's hard to preach is when you know they're not right with God. And there's nothing I can say to preach them into heaven. There's nothing I can do to get them. People need to make their choice. Will you serve God or serve self? That's your choice. But judgment belongs to God. If you're here and you need to obey God, we pray you come as together we stand.